B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On the Brady contract, it's always good to come to an agreement with a player, any player. So, you know, that's a good thing. I know I'm not going to talk about the contract, so we'll move on from that.
It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it, it's very pertinent. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, you know, 1 year left on their contract. You know, so the situation, I got 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens.
I mean, look, I don't think he's going anywhere. But just him saying, we'll see what happens. And they also can't franchise him. So he and his agent made sure they got the same provision Drew Brees has. And a lot of guys negotiate into the last year of their contract to preserve their freedom to go somewhere else. So note, on the day they gave him $70 million, and really, we should put that, you know, you should clear your throat, put it in air quotes. Again, it's freaking goofy money. It's not real money. It's NFL salary cap money. On the day on paper, the headline says they gave him $70 million. He says, I got 1 year left. We'll see what happens. And his agent makes sure that they put in there that you can't franchise him, meaning he's a free agent when those years void. That's all a little scary. I don't think he's going anywhere because I don't think it'll ever come to that. But he certainly put himself in position to leave. I'll put it to you like that.
And leave meaning retire or whatever, do whatever he wants. I mean, again, go to another team, which, again, I find that scenario now unlikely. But the fact is,
there's nothing they can do about it now. There's nothing the Patriots can do about it, which is,
it's like they're daring him to retire, for crying out loud, basically. It's almost like, no, Tom, we're not going to give it to you, so you decide. You play well, we'll be fine. We don't, we won't. Like, they're almost daring him to retire.
Or Bill?
Yeah, but see, at the end of the day, I think the Crafts do the Brady contract, right?
Yes, they do.
So maybe this is the pendulum swinging back now to Bill's side a little bit?
I think they're just trying to keep the peace for now.
Maybe.
I mean, both sides kind of win here. Brady gets a pay bump for this year. It has him making the same money as Drew Brees, so it's not this embarrassing number that, you know, has him, what, 15th or whatever it is in the league.
So now he's 6th.
And now, you know, they also get to get some cap room as well, so maybe Bill gets to play around and bring another player in. And they all kind of push it off to the side until the end of the season. And yeah. Bill also gets to assess how Brady plays at age 42.
Brady's never, ever gone into the final year of his contract. Never. Now all of a sudden it's happening and we're supposed to just ignore it?
Now is he not only going to the final year of his contract? The team lost the right to franchise him. Which, again, I can't fathom a world where it comes to that. But the agent made sure that contractually they have that freedom now, which is notable. That's notable.
Because it's leverage.
I mean, on the day he signs his contract extension, 99 times out of 100, the guy says, I want to thank the Crafts and the team for the long-term commitment. We're ready to go now for another 3 years. I can't wait to take you into the next era and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, this is a commitment on both of our parts, and it feels good to be wanted and to be supported by the team. Instead, he said, it is what it is. I'm going
it
to my last year.
That's a good line.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he wasn't going to play along.
Was he that? Did he sound grateful today?
No. And that's the thing, really. He wasn't going to play along. He wasn't going to sit there and pretend that it was a 3-year contract and everything that's rosy, and he's not playing along. To me, that's how I take it ultimately, is that Brady says, okay, fine, this is the way you guys want to do it, fine. I'm not going to go out there and paint this rosy picture of being here for 3 more years. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to play till I'm 45. The question is, do you want me to play till I'm 45? That is now the question. Like, what happened to this whole Tom gets the right to decide when he walks off into the sunset kind of thing? Like, that's gone too. Like, I don't know. You know, you can see how this is going to play out, right? That they're going to get to the end of it. They're going to tell him they're not going to pay him the $30 million. And they're going to put it on him to either retire or go play for another team.
Yep.
And that way, if he goes and plays for another team, they're going to say, we wanted him back. We made it clear to him we wanted him back. They'll put it on Brady.
They'll definitely put it on Brady. And Brady will cave as usual. Brady will cave as usual. Like, he just caved here. He'll just cave and take it.
Or I'll have to become a Titans fan when he goes and reunites with Mike Vrabel.
And look, let me just inject this quickly. Look at how they've built the roster. Defense, running game. Special teams, even, for crying out loud, Mike. They drafted an effing punter, okay? They drafted a punter. You know why they did all this? So that whoever the quarterback is only has to manage the game. That's it. The rest of the areas is where their money is. so the next guy just doesn't have to screw up. They built the roster a certain way for either Brady aging or Brady being replaced.
Okay, your thoughts on this and your Boston Red Sox. How are you enjoying your baseball team right now, Boston? Mike in the car, though, on Brady. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys talk about his contract for a little while now, and I don't even understand why he would sign it. Was it simply just for the extra $8 million this year, just to get that?
Correct, and I think that, I mean, if he's just playing the negotiating game, that, you know, the ability not to be franchised is important. You have complete freedom, and you can really leverage the team if you wanted to do it. I don't think he wants to do it, but that's something. That's a give on the part of the team.
Yeah, I think the real thing is he wants to play. Like, why would he sign it? Because he wants to play. And so, like, I think Brady's authentic about that. I think he loves playing.
Yeah, this is what Kern just wrote this afternoon. Since word of Brady's 2019 pay raise became public on Sunday, it's been ballyhooed as a warm agreement for Brady's services this year and into the future. It's not, says Kern. It's just a raise, and a fairly modest one at that. So why did Brady take it? Because in the end, he loves playing football for the New England Patriots. He loves what they've built, loves his teammates, and yes, loves the head coach and the owner. Folding his arms and refusing to play, that's not him. The competition is more important than the money. The legacy is more important than the money. But he says the money is not wholly unimportant to him, because he's a human being. To the people who say he doesn't care about the money, it's like, I hear that all the time, you know, with him and Bill, and they're still human beings at the end of the day. They want to be, Brady likes money. Oh, by the way, I did hate to break this to you. He wants to be a freaking billionaire. He wants to take over the world. So trust me, he likes his money. But when it comes to this, he also, the thought of him not playing because of money would be, no, that's not him either. I mean, he's not doing that thing.
Boy, what a thing to have hanging over him the whole season. And I say a thing, because like now you start asking the question, what if they have a good year? What if they have a bad year? Does that affect his judgment? Like, well, you know, will he stay or will he go? Like, I think that all that's in play now.
Totally.
Yeah. I like this idea that, you know, because again, he's effectively, he himself is saying at the end of the year, I'm up. So Bill can paint it however he wants.
And we'll see what happens. On the day he signs the extension, he's not saying I'm going to end up my career as a Patriot. He didn't say that. Such an easy thing to say. I love it here. I want to finish where I started. We're going to end the career as a Patriot. This contract ensures it. Instead, he says just the opposite. We'll see what happens.
Which leads me to believe this is something that ultimately lights a fire under his ass, like them drafting Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I get it. It's structured differently in terms of how they're running the offense and how they drafted Maz, you know, this punter they draft in the fifth round and all that. And it seems like it's going to be defense heavy. But would it shock you if this lights a fire under Brady's ass and he has an MVP season?
I think it's so true. I don't know if...
He didn't have the weapons, really,
right,
to do it.
If he or the offense is capable, he is, if he was surrounded by great talent. But I don't think the offense... I don't think any quarterback could win the MVP with this offense the way it's built right now. So, but to keeping Brady hungry, this is sort of the Patriot way. This is the side benefit.
It's worked before.
Bill and the Crafts being so tough at the negotiating table, it motivates. It keeps these guys hungry. It's like, you know, I think it works for them. And I don't totally blame the team for what they're doing, by the way. I mean, I totally understand Brady's frustration, and I can sympathize with it. But if you're only going to put in half the work anyway, why are we going to pay you full freight?
Well, the reality is he is 42.
So, I mean, I get it from their point of view, and I do think it will motivate him. Bob and Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
By the way, Felger, did you read the current quote correctly? He said he loves the coach?
Yep.
Loves Belichick?
Yep, he says, and yes, loves the head coach and the owner.
Loves him. So that whole thing about the quack down there, whatever his name is, you know, Guerrero. Yeah. And so that went up by the board. Now he loves him. The thing about this is, this is coming from upstairs. Belichick, you told me that these deals are made above Belichick's heads with Brady. So now it's Kraft and Jonathan and Robert. They're the ones that are dealing with Brady specifically. So they're the ones that basically screwed over. So this isn't really Belichick's fault, because they're the ones that are deciding not to give him the guaranteed. First of all, let me finish.
You don't think Bill's involved a little bit?
Kirk Cousins got, yeah, of course he's involved a little bit, but you're the one that told and said this has nothing to do with, this is above the Bill Belichick's pay grade at this point. Kirk Cousins got $84 million guaranteed. You're telling me that Brady couldn't get at least $60 million guaranteed?
Sounds like he's got eight. I mean, we need to see what the final guarantees are.
I want to see that. It's got to be more than eight, though, because
I bet you they guaranteed this whole year.
So they gave him an extra. I bet you that whole 23 is guaranteed.
But they lowered the cap hit, right?
Yeah.
So that means that there's got to be a bonus that gets spread out over 3 years.
No, if you just guarantee a base salary, that's treated as a bonus, and you can spread that out.
Oh, okay.
That's how you lower cap. It's
okay, so then fine. There you go.
That's cap manipulation 101.
Yeah, just, it could be then just $8 million then.
Guarantee the salary. That's treated as a bonus. Spread it over the life of the deal. That lowers your cap hit. So my guess is that this year is going to be guaranteed, and there's probably nothing else guaranteed in there.
Wow.
Seriously. We continue with your thoughts of the Brady extension, the Red Sox, to your calls after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
You're in the final year of your contract. Is it going year to year a possibility, and are you comfortable with that?
I mean, we're all day to day, if you think about it. I mean, none of us are really promised anything, so, I mean, I'm trying to do the best I can do today and, you know, just let those things sort themselves out.
Do you feel like you earned an extension, Tom?
Have I earned it? I don't know. You guys, that's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think? Should we take a poll?
Sure.
All right. Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on. No, we, like I said, we got a great relationship, so we'll see how it goes.
So I think Brady's unhappy with the contract. And last week, I think, last week and today, it just sort of slips through. He's making jokes, but there's truth behind every joke. Little kernels of truth and meaning when you take little shots like that. Like,
that's what makes it funny.
Should we take a poll?
Sure.
All right. Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on.
So he says it with a laugh and makes a joke. Go talk to Mr. Kraft. But today it's then, well, it is what it is. And whoever came up with that one, that was a pretty good turn of a phrase. And so he's, you know, in his sort of passive aggressive way, a little tiny, I don't know if it's even a shot, but it's, you know, something directed towards Kraft and Belichick and the situation. I think that's where it's coming out. And I think that when you look at the media coverage too, the, reporters that I think have been good with the Brady camp, like Curran and Gasper and guys like this, have, you know, writing about frustration on Brady's side. And I take that all to mean Brady's pissed, which isn't the first time he's been pissed about a contract, but he just, as usual, signs it and shows up.
I mean, again, that's the thing, too. You add those together, right? Gasper and Curran, Chris Casper, The Globe, and Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, effectively offering the same thing that other than this year, this means nothing. It's zero paper contract. Like, it suggests to me that on that side of it, they're not thrilled.
I mean, but
they're daring Brady to retire, Mike. If the final 2 years are avoidable and they're gone and they can't franchise him, what control do the Patriots have over Brady?
They don't.
None. Zero. None. There's no option that they can pick up. They can't keep him here by the franchise or transition tag. So they're playing chicken with Brady. Tom, this is the deal. We'll revisit at the end of the year. You want to stay, we'll figure it out. That's what they're telling him. Other than that, you know, there's no, you know, that's it, Tom. So, and he says, okay, well, if that's the case, I want to be able to walk. Okay, fine, you can have that, because they're saying we don't think he'll do that. So they're daring him to retire or to leave. And I think retiring is more probable. It's hard to think that Brady at age 42... at the end of the year, is going to look at it and give the Crafts the finger and go play for the Giants or whoever.
Can't imagine it.
Right? But retiring? Oh, he could retire. He could, you know, he and Super G could say, that's it, we're out of here. They're shopping for a house in the suburbs of New York.
I buy into that stuff because their house hunting has sort of coincided with life changes. Like, for example, when they sold the Brentwood, I think they sold their place in Brentwood the year the Patriots drafted Garoppolo because Brady said, oh, maybe I should get my ass back there. So I think it was right around that time that they sold L.A. And then Brady came in. And wouldn't you know it, he was the offseason award winner, 4 years running with the parking space and all of that. Johnny on the spot. And they built a place in Brookline because he sort of recommitted to being here. And now he's looking at New York. Why is he looking at New York? Because their place in Tribeca is not big enough or whatever. That's where she spends most of her. I mean, I sort of read into that. I kind of do.
I mean, I think there's a link. There's always a link on that stuff.
I think that.
Did you see he also signed with the William Morris Agency late last week? As
yeah.
Well? And so Charlie Davies, who works for NBC Sports Boston, does a lot of soccer stuff, former Revs player. He is also with them. I hope I'm not blowing up his spot, but I talked to him late last week, and he was saying, like, you know, that's they also have Michael Strahan, a lot of retired players. So maybe him signing with them is he's setting up his next part of his career working in broadcasting or something. So there could be something to that, too.
Before today, I thought Brady was going to make it to 43, 44. He was really going to sniff 45. Now I'm less certain of that than I've been in a long time.
Maybe this is it.
Maybe this is it.
But boy, if he goes out.
I mean, again, Peyton Manning wouldn't say that it was it going into the final year. He didn't want that thing. I mean, maybe they've agreed, Tom, this is it. Brady says, I don't want to play this stupid game anymore. Fine, we'll give you a one-year deal. We'll tack on a couple of stupid phony years at the end. And then at the end, you can announce your retirement.
Yeah, but does that sound like a guy hearing those clips today that feels that way? I think he's pissed about it, and I think that this is more like, you know, he's like, oh, you don't believe in me? You don't also agree with my dream of trying to get to 44, 45, so fine. And that's the thing. If he does have one of these kind of seasons where it's 32 touchdowns and 5 picks, he's got them over a barrel next season.
I'm telling you, they're daring him. They're playing chicken with him. They are.
Okay, back to your thoughts. So Stephen Stoneham is one of the great Brady haters out there that currently exists. Go ahead, Steve. What do you got?
Yeah, well, Felgo, how is Tommy Bubblescreen going to sabotage the kid from Auburn, Stidham, from getting on the field and looking good, huh? Hmm.
I don't know.
SEC, okay? Starting quarterback in an SEC conference. He has more cachet, talent, and ability than the three Stiffs that went 14-5, okay? And don't go back. Don't go back and check it and say 14-6. Jacoby Brissett had a broken thumb on his throwing hand. So don't count that as loss. 14-5 with three quarterbacks, two never even played Division I college football. If you remember, on that year when he was getting suspended, he insisted on playing the first game because he wanted to sabotage. He wanted to sabotage Garoppolo.
Okay, sabotage or beat him or beat him out. So come on, let's not. Brady was competitive with Garoppolo for the job, which is silly for the greatest quarterback of all time, but that's Brady's mindset. That's why he's the best. But this thing about, you know, Belichick winning with another quarterback,
it's the last pelt he has yet to collect.
It's the last
he wants
thing.
To do it.
It's the last thing on the table. And if he can go 14-6, I'm sorry, we can't start taking away losses because Brissett had a bad thumb. If he goes 14-6 with Castle, Brissett, and Garoppolo, what would he go with someone good? And I don't mean to say that about your guy Garoppolo, but you know what I mean.
No, I know exactly
someone
what
decorated.
You mean.
Someone.
Yeah, no, it's a legit question. Yeah, legit question. Again, you know, and Belichick, we know, believes in his own ability enough to look at it and say, make whoever you want the quarterback. I'll build the roster in such a way we'll win with whoever. I'll put Stidham back there and have him throw the bubble screens for crying out loud, just like Stephen Stoneham said, and we'll win that way.
Buddy in Walpole with the Red Sox thought. Go ahead, buddy. Not your guy Garoppolo, but you know what I mean. Buddy, you got to
yes.
put.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Who am I talking to?
Felger.
Oh, okay. I've been watching baseball for 75 years.
Oh.
I don't expect to know more about baseball than you and Maz. But I'm very curious how Maz thinks that Cora is a good coach. I got to hear this. I don't feel he's a good coach. He doesn't know when to put pitches in. He don't know when to take them out. He don't know who to put them in.
Buddy, did you feel that way last year?
Not at all. Last year, everything was good. But it was good for the team.
So, Buddy, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
I don't think it's a core issue. Not yet.
Well, no. It's not the core issue he's talking about. The in-game stuff, that's a drop in the bucket. The core issue was the whole tone coming out of spring training and how they decided to...
Mindset.
Yes, mindset. Thank you. Mindset of the team sucked. Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a team win a championship and come back the next year and say, why would we want to turn the page? That's the only team in any sport I've ever seen that. Everyone says we all have to start back at the bottom of the mountain in the same place. We have to prove ourselves. It's a new year. It's the biggest sports cliche ever. One day at a time, everybody starts at 0-0. We all have the same record. It's a new year. You have to turn the page. Sports cliche 101. I've never seen a team not do that, except for this one. I've never seen a team say, why turn the page? We'll just do what we did last year.
So you go back to all that stuff that John Henry said when they interviewed Cora. He was almost too confident, right? Almost too confident. What was his team this year? Too confident.
Oh, brutal.
Too comfortable.
So that you can get on Cora for. I don't know if it's fireable because, well, I mean, I just don't know. I just don't think that's a fireable offense. I still think he's got a chance to be a good manager. He's young, and he made a big mistake, and they all did with how they approached this season.
I just think that his first of all, I think he's bright. I think for the most part, he deals with people directly, and I'm just basing it compared to Farrell. Maybe that's a bad example. And I also look at the fact that, again, look at the Hispanic players on this team that have blossomed. Bogarts, Vasquez, Devers, Eduardo Rodriguez. All of a sudden, all these guys have turned into good players, having career years under Cora. I don't think that that's a coincidence.
We'll continue to reset our Red Sox thoughts. Nice team you got there, Stu. Nice baseball team.
Apologize, Mike.
Get him, Jimmy.
They're talented. That's still a talented team. That's what makes this a story. The talent's real. I'm not apologizing for anything.
Your tone suggests they should have repeated.
My tone suggested it was a talented team that was you shouldn't give up on.
Apologize.
Did I know that they were this gutless? That
yeah,
they
should have known
this. That they were this uncompetitive. Please. Who could have predicted that?
Apologize, Rochi.
No apologizing here. Here's Ms. Murray's update, and then we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How are you enjoying your baseball team, Mass?
Oh, great. No. It's fun to watch a team that just flat out quits. Because that's the reality of what's going on here.
It's unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable.
It's astonishing, really, that the thing that sticks out to me more than anything over the last 5 days is that at the deadline, Dombrowski and Cora both talked about, we have the talent here. The talent's in that room. We have to play better.
Are they wrong?
No. But
what am I apologizing for?
Yeah, you know how bad they've been performing.
Take that up with these two.
Thank you.
Okay? I'm not disputing the talent on this team.
Thank you.
You should apologize for believing. That's what I thought.
For being stupid? Yep. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, apologize for being stupid. I agree on that part. But like I hear that and I say, so the GM and the manager sit there basically and say, you guys aren't worth it. And they don't have a shred of competitiveness in them to say you guys are wrong.
That's exactly what I thought. So Dombrowski doesn't make a deal and then I think makes a mistake by basically saying, well, if we were better, basically telling the team you're not good enough to invest in. Okay, so then there's one of two ways a team can take that. They say, screw you. We are, and we'll show you. Or you could do what they've done, which is...
pack it in.
Yeah, you're right. We suck. Quit. I mean, unbelievable that they did that second thing. A team that had enough to win a championship, I thought would have that competitive gene or would have something to them that would just, you know, fight that or push back against it, be motivated by it. Instead, they just caved into it.
Yeah. F you, we'll prove you wrong.
Or
we'll win in spite of you.
Actually, you're right. We suck. We're going to quit.
They caved.
Unbelievable.
They haven't won since. I mean, that's the thing. They haven't won since.
And again, their ass kicked every night. You said it before. These games aren't, every time you look up, it's 8-3, 7-0. They're getting their asses handed.
They're getting obliterated. They are. They're getting obliterated. It happened in the Tampa series. It happened in New York all weekend. In the first inning, I want to go back and look. I think they're down, you know, 4 or 5 runs with the exception of the Rodriguez game, in which they gave up 4 in the bottom of the first. They're down multiple runs before they get halfway through the game. And they're getting their asses kicked. First round knockouts every time. It's unbelievable they would just fold like this. They never wanted to show up for this year. They won their championship and they said, that's it. We don't have to play anymore. We have to show up and play? Why do we have to do that? We just won. We shut everybody up. This is like the David Price thing. I hold the trump cards now. No, you hold them for a little while, but then you actually have to show up and pitch again. They didn't want to show up and play. They didn't want to show.
How about David Price specifically? You're in it. You're in your game out of the wild card, something like this. He's your best pitcher. He's cranking along, and then he listens to someone on Twitter, and he can't take it. And he, talk about going in the tank. Since then, he's gotten absolutely pulverized. And last night was just the latest. We've all given you the number. 17 innings pitched since the Ek blow up, 30 hits. 30 hits, 20 earned runs, like a 10-something ERA. They've lost every one of his starts since then. All because he couldn't turn off the phone. And he once again allowed a commenter on his Twitter feed to give him a little bruh. And that climbed inside his head, took a steaming dump, and now he is once again, as Dan Shaughnessy said, a puddle. How do you like that?
Really, it is. It's unbelievable.
Then again, it could be the other thing I mentioned. Did you see what was on his hat last night?
I don't want to go there.
Okay.
I don't want to say the wrong thing. People get bent out of shape about their dogs.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's about Price, Murray. The more I think about it, he had these problems his whole life.
And I agree. So he's always been that fragile, so it doesn't take that much. Maybe it takes the loss of a pet to really send him down the toilet. Because if you really extrapolate those numbers, since the adorable dog Astro died, which I feel for, I wouldn't get on him for. 5 starts, 0-3, team record 0-5, ERA 8.22, 23 innings pitched, 8 home runs, 21 earned runs. So is it Ek? Or is it the other thing?
Well, he had another, and he's a child. Just
He's had a lot going on.
Probably an emotional time from off the field and all of that. But you know, so you understand from a human level. But also, it's your job to, as a competitor, to blot that out and compete.
You would think your job would help you block that out.
Instead, he quits. He once again throws a hissy fit on the team broadcaster for nothing, really, and then goes in the tank. I'm sorry. I don't have sympathy, quote unquote. I expect the you just have to compete through that stuff.
So even if Price has had all these things sort of converging in his life, what about the other 24 guys? Like, because again, they showed up on day one, not wanting to play. That's how it feels like to me. They showed up on day one this year saying, "What do we have to compete in the early part of the year for? What are we going to do this for? We just won. Why do we have to show up and compete again? Why?" Why is that necessary?
Well,
prove you all wrong?
Right. And, but just the approach that we're so good and so much better than everybody else, we don't even really need to. We can have a soft opening. We can just, hold everybody back in spring, sort of start out at half speed, and we'll be just fine because we're that good. How arrogant.
It is.
I mean, how freaking arrogant is that?
And to lose 8 straight games. I mean, that's something that...
8 in a row.
Like the Tigers or one of these tanking teams. Like, that's what you expect out of them. This team? Come on.
8 in a row. 8 in a row. They haven't lost 9 in a row since 2014, I think, when they traded away all those guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then they really sucked. That team had no talent. For this team, if they lose to Kansas City tonight.
Well, it's Porcello starting.
Yeah. You know what? This occurred to me, too. If you're going to the ballpark tonight, and I say this without the slightest bit of vengeance or anything else.
Boo their asses.
You should boo their asses right off the field. From the second they show up, you should boo them. Boo. 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 Boo them off. Boo them off the effing field. Seriously, they deserve to get their asses booed tonight. Boo. 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 Boo them. Oh, my God. They totally deserve to get their asses booed.
And David Price, chief among them, I'm sorry. He's now standing as sort of the flag bearer for this. Because it all started with him and his Twitter nonsense. It's where it all sort of began. And I'm not going to put on the dog. I'm sorry. It started with the Twitter nonsense. That's when he went south. That's when he stopped leading the staff. Sales been a problem all season long. But they were in it. They were in it. They were right there. Game out of the wild card. Whatever. Game and a half out of the wild card. They were right freaking there for a chance to defend and go into the playoffs and defend your championship and contend, and they have the talent to do it. I apologize for nothing. I do not take that back because they still have that talent. And that's what makes this such a disgrace. It's what makes it such, they're not banged up. They're not lacking in talent. They're not too old. They're not too anything. They're right in their primes, in the middle of their window, a supremely talented team that's healthy and has quit. That's a joke.
They really are. They're soft. Mentally, they are soft.
Okay, there's your Red Sox reset. To your calls, I promise, right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. 2-1. Line to right field as a base hit toward the line. Gardner will run it into a double as Betts fields near the line. Swung on and ripped a deep left center field. Benintendi going back, way back in left center. It is off the left center field bullpen wall. Gardner has scored. Maben to second with a double. Swung on and line, base hit, right center field. Maben rounds third, he scores. And the Yankees have scored four in the inning. They have a 5-0 lead. Pitch is line. There's a base hit over third. Down the left field line. Runs to the left field corner. Extra bases. It's another double, another extra base hit.
Darwin's and Hernandez is up in the Red Sox bullpen.
Ground ball in the hole. That's a base hit to right field. Ford scores. Higashioka scores. And the Yankees have scored six in the inning, and they have a 7-0 lead. I mean, you look at the lineups. Who would have thunk it? All the young guys from Scranton are hitting.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? They just had a shot of the Red Sox dugout, and the look on Alex Cora and Dana Lavangie, the pitching coach's face. And what are you supposed to do? Sale gets hammered. Price gets hammered. Porcello gets hammered. What are you supposed to do?
Again, the sound of the ball off the bat on those ESPN broadcasts, it's either that or just David Price is absolutely getting pulverized.
But how about both? But wasn't the exit velocity on like five of the six hits 95 miles an hour or greater?
I see.
Yeah, I think five of the six hits, the exit velocity was almost 100 miles an hour.
Against stiffs.
Right.
Against a 4A lineup.
You're talking about guys at the bottom of the lineup that are borderline big leaguers. They don't even deserve to be in the big leagues, half of them. You know, it's the end of a series. Like, they played a doubleheader the day before. Boone's trotting out his, I think Shaughnessy wrote, the kind of lineup he'd bring to Fort Myers. That's what it was. And he got absolutely ripped. I mean, they were like fighting each other at the bat rack to get up there and take a hack at him. That's what it was like. The human pinata out there. Let's just beat the stuffing out of him. That's what it was. And Cora left him out there, and he still couldn't get out of the inning. He walked the last guy, and then Cora finally said, he can't get the last out.
You should have left him in longer.
I felt the same way, Murray. I did. Let him suffer. They deserve to suffer. I hope they lose tonight. I do. I hope. I don't want him to beat Kansas City now. Lose, it'd be so much better.
Okay, your reaction, folks. Alan in Florida, how are you enjoying your baseball team right now?
Yeah, well, Susan had an answer. Bring Roger back, Susan. You know, let her bring Roger back. You know, by the way, they brought that lineup to Fort Myers. They get fined for not bringing enough major leaguers, right?
Exactly.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I blame a few people. I blame Dumbo Dombrowski. By the way, Cora, Mr. Motivation, you know, he could be a motivational speaker. The other night, he called Rodriguez's performance outstanding five times. I mean, maybe he missed it. He gave up a grand slam and walked six, and that was outstanding. You know, if this was John Farrell, you would ridicule him, and I couldn't stand him, don't get me wrong, but you would have ridiculed him to the no end. And, you know, this team was built on pitching, which I don't get. Rick Porcello may be, and I'm not exaggerating, the worst starting pitcher in all of baseball. Okay, he's one of the top three. I mean, he had one year. He won I've said 100 times, worst pitcher ever to win a Cy. I mean, it was ridiculous. And Sale hasn't been in a year and a half. All of us, you know, Mike, you kept saying he's going to turn it around. I mean, maybe I thought he might have. He ain't turning nothing around anymore. Price is a five-inning pitcher. They're going to build this team on starting pitching, with no relievers, with no closer, with no anything. And you know what?
Alan, all that stuff is true.
How about their makeup? How about their compete?
I mean, to me, that's the issue.
So they're flawed. I mean, if you want to tell me that all those things add up and they are less than a championship team, fine. Or they're a wild card team, not a division winner. Got it. Eight straight on pace for, what is it now, like 84? I don't even know what they're pacing for. That's something beyond just the holes on the roster or certain starters not performing. That is a collective lack of compete.
I mean, look at the players the Yankees have lost this year.
Thank you.
Look at the players they have lost this year, and yet they keep winning. And they just lost Edwin Encarnacion on top of it. Like, if it weren't bad enough to be missing the guys they've missed. And they just keep winning. Why? Because they're on a mission. That's why. Because the mindset is we're going to fix what went wrong last year. The Red Sox showed up with nothing to prove, and they've acted like it all year long.
We've got Matt in Gloucester on the Brady contract. Go ahead, Matt.
You boners just keep the stupid train rolling, huh? I mean, you think you know what passive aggressiveness sounds like in Brady's voice? Is that right, Felger?
Yeah.
You do? You know him that well?
No, it's just what I think.
Well, that's a stupid thought. And when are you guys going to realize you've been wrong so many more times than you've been right? Name one thing you've been right about.
Name one thing I've been right about. Nothing comes to mind right now, man.
That's nothing. You were wrong about Guerrero. You were wrong about the beef with Bill and Tom, Kraft and Tom, and now he's unhappy with his contract? Where do you guys get this stuff? It's great.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Thanks for listening. I think he's pissed about his contract.
So do I.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think he's being passive-aggressive about it.
Yeah, now whether or not he ultimately does anything about it, I don't know. But
I know he's not going to do anything about it.
I mean, well, he could retire.
Yeah, I mean, I think this greases the skids for that, or I feel less confident about him playing three or four more years than I have in a long time. But would he retire just like in response to this? Is that what you're saying? That he'd get so tired of negotiating with these guys every year that he says, screw it, I'm out?
No.
No, I would also say that the way they built it, like all of it, they're de-emphasizing Brady on some level. And I say de-emphasizing, strong word. But they're as he gets older, they've built the roster in such a way that they're not going to lean on him as much as they did in the past. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, for sure.
Okay, no so question. Again, defense, running game, and again, Mike, I even say special teams. They drafted a freaking punter when Ryan Allen might have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. So they didn't need a punter. They used a fifth-round pick on one, and the guy can kick off, too.
So, and I'm with you, but just to that previous caller, call up Tom Curran, who's really tapped in with the Brady side, tapped in with both sides, and has been all over this. He implied today that Brady wasn't going to make the trip to Detroit if they didn't get the contract. He was so agitated by it. He says, this is a deal that allows the Patriots to save face because if Brady were to go into his walk year with a salary far smaller than some lesser quarterbacks, it would have looked bad. And to be frank, he writes, Brady may not have done it. What do you mean may not have done it? May not have done what? May not have gone along with that contract? May not have ultimately played for that number? And that's what Curran's implying. Call him.
Talk about burying the lead.
He said, well, that's why Curran did it.
I know. I've been there. I'm not, you know. Nobody was better at burying the lead than me.
He said, Curran wrote, the deal came together in the past few days, and the desire on Brady's part to get it done was significant. Now that it is done, Brady is in the fold for Detroit this week and Tennessee next week. Then the rest of the 2019... Wait a minute. You mean he wasn't in the fold for Detroit and Tennessee this week?
That's how it reads to me, yeah.
Yep, I read it that way, too.
And you guys are all smirking because you know something. Jimmy Stewart says he knows something. Jimmy Stewart says Brady would not have been in Detroit this week if they had not done this deal.
That is 100% what I believe. And in fact, the threat of it is what forced Brady to get this money right here and this, you know, crap contract.
And I mean, again, is it a coincidence that all of a sudden this breaks just as they get on the plane, basically get on the plane to go to Detroit?
I don't doubt it. I mean, I think if they had called his bluff and not given him this contract, he'd still be on that plane to Detroit because he, at the end, he always caves. At the end, he always gets on the plane and he always signs it. Always, always, always. So for once, I'd like to see him actually act out how he gets frustrated sometimes and then actually do it.
Maybe every year he gets a little bit closer to acting out. Maybe that's what happens over time. You get a little bit closer to acting out. And you don't do it early on because you don't think you're entitled to, but every year that goes by, you get a little bit closer.
But I think just his comments today are a dead giveaway.
Yeah, he uses the it is what it is line. Nah, nothing to read into. Let's just ignore it.
The contract is for 2 years and $70 million. 3 years of team control, just on paper, the headline. 2 extra years, $70 million. 3 years left to go on his deal. And Brady's asked how he feels about it. He says, it is what it is.
I have 1 year left like everybody else, and we'll see what happens. It doesn't take much to, I don't know, like, what sort of powers of reading into you need there. All you need is ears and a brain to figure that one out. I mean, if he was really thankful for the contract, I want to thank the Patriots. I want to thank the Crafts. I'm looking forward to a long relationship to finish my career here and finish what we started. And all that usual sort of happy talk that you get from anyone who signs a contract extension for $70 million. Instead, Brady basically says in so many words, the contract is complete phony money. It's completely garbage because he calls it a one-year deal, not a three-year. And he says it is what it is. We'll see what happens after the year. I'm sorry, I don't feel like I'm reading into anything.
No, again, he's not playing along. He's not going to sit there and play along with the perception that this is a two-year extension. They're tacking it on. He's got, you know, three more. He's not playing along at all.
Okay, and I don't think it's going to amount to anything, that I would say. But I think all those dynamics behind the scenes are real. Here's Murray's update, 90 seconds, no spots, and we're back with your call.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.